Baby Talk.
Baby Talk with Penny Johnston on ABC Local Radio.
And I'm speaking with paediatrician Dr. Harvey Karp about one of his favourite topics, which is babies. And we're going to move on to the toddlers now, because you've got a marvellous theory about toddlers where you compare them to little Neanderthal cavemen.
With all respect, I would say. But yes, they are little primitives. Anyone who's been around a toddler knows that they're not born knowing how to say please and thank you. That's our job, to civilize them, to socialize them. And you hope by the time they're 4 or 5, you've really accomplished your task. But they're not born that way. And so it really, and when I say toddlers, I'm talking about children starting at around 8 or 9 months of age. So not later on at 2. By 2, they're already, you know, just a million years old instead of 6 million years old. But the reason that I compare toddlers to cavemen is severalfold. Number one, it really helps the parents to understand their job. Because if you understand that your toddler is a primitive, you have very different expectations. If your 20-year-old spits in your face, you have a real problem. If your one-year-old spits in your face, they're just little Neanderthals. They don't know any better. So it allows you to have a perspective on what is reasonable to expect and what's not reasonable.
I know you've traveled to Australia, and I don't know if you've heard the great Australian expression is you're having a dummy spit. That means that you're spitting the pacifier out of your mouth, to translate it for you. And my almost three-year-old he's dummy is dearer to him than life itself, but he's just started to rip it out of his mouth and throw it on the ground. No! Now, I can imagine him in a little animal skin with dragging a club behind him.
But you know something, it's exactly right. And there are I won't bore you with this, but there's a biological precept that goes that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. And what that basically means is that the development of a child roughly parallels the evolution of our species. So first they walk on two legs, and then they can, you know, manipulate objects and hammer things, and then they can begin to manipulate words, and then even manipulate ideas by the time children are 4 or 5 years of age, or even 3 years of age. And that roughly parallels the evolution of our species. But there's more science to it than that, which is that, and this is really one of the key points of my approach. We have a right half of the brain and a left half of the brain. The left half of the brain is where we're doing a lot of our work right now, Penny. It's about ideas. It's about words. It's about logic. And it's about patience. The left half of the brain supervises all of that. The right half of the brain deals more with emotions, the fight or flight reflex, you know, suddenly running away from something, being afraid. But it also deals with musicality, bouncing to the music, and it deals with non-verbal communication, which means your tone of voice, your gestures, and the look on your face. Now, here's the key point. All of us, when we get upset, dial down our left brains. We become less eloquent, less logical, less patient, and we have a term for that in our culture, which is called going ape. When we get emotional and upset, we go ape. We turn off our left brains. Now, toddlers are ape on a good day. I mean, they don't have good left brain function on a good day. They're not that good with their words. They're not that good with patience or with logic. But when they get upset, they turn down that little bit of left brain that they have, and they go totally Jurassic on you. And that's why they'll throw things or scratch you or, you know, smear things all over the wall or break things. I mean, they just totally lose their control. And this is important to understand, because what happens when your child gets upset, of course you want to communicate to them, you want to calm them down, you want to soothe them and reassure them, but it turns out that as parents, almost universally, we do exactly the wrong thing. We speak in exactly the wrong way when our toddlers get upset. And by that I mean we speak in a left brain language with a lot of words and logic, and we take out the right brain part of it, which is the emotionality and the nonverbal content. So in other words, if two children are fighting over the ball, you might say to your two-year-old, sweetheart, calm down. I know you want the ball, but it's Bobby's turn. Remember, we talked about sharing before. Bobby gets a turn and blah, 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 blah. This poor little child's left brain is almost completely turned off. They're all a right brain animal at that point. You need to speak to them in a right brain language, which is what I call toddlerese, which is there are three steps for that. It's short phrases, repetition, and mirroring just a third of their emotions in your tone of voice and gestures. So what you might say more effectively to the two-year-old who's crying because he wants the ball that Bobby has, you might point to the ball and go, ball, 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 you want ball. Now you say, my ball. And you do that 7 or 8 times before they even look at you. And when they look at you, that's your cue to use a little bit more mature language to say, oh, but no ball, honey, no ball, no. Bobby has the ball. No ball now, sweetheart. You'll get it later. That kind of a primitive way of talking to them.
Wow. And I've never tried that, of course.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. People hear that and they go, this guy is over the top. There's no way I would ever do that. That's baby talk. To which I would reply, yeah. You're talking to someone whose left brain is turned off. So you can speak like the professor if you want, but it's not going to work because they can't process the information. But what's so really fun about this, Penny, is that you say you've never spoken like this before, but I guarantee you speak to your three-year-old that way every single day. You use toddlerese with your three-year-old. And here's what I mean. When your child, what's his name, by the way?
He's Harry.
Harry. Lovely. So when Harry is so proud of himself, he's done something that he's really proud of, and he's beaming at you with pride and success. Do you say to him, very good, Harry. Mother is proud. I will tell father. Or do you say, Harry, you did it. You did it. Good job. Good job. Wow, look at that. Wow, that was really great.
Yes, that's a lot closer to the mark.
Well, you see, that's totally normal for us to speak toddlerese when our children are very happy. But for some reason, we turn into emotional zombies when they get upset. And it isn't just about children. Every person wants that type of communication when they are upset, adults as well. If you were mad at me, Penny, I might say to you, Penny, I'm very sorry. I kept you waiting. I deeply apologize. I, too, would be upset if I mean, the words sound fine, but you really want to smack me upside the head when I'm talking like that. But on the other hand, if I spoke to you in toddlerese and I said to you, and I'm putting my hands together almost in a prayer gesture at this moment, and I'm bowing my head, I'm going, Penny, please, I am sorry. I am truly, honestly sorry. I mean, I know I put you in a bad situation. I really apologize. I mean, I'll tell you what happened, but it's not your problem. But I want you to know I get it, and I really, really, really apologize.
Oh, you're so good.
Well, that sounds odd. But that's toddlerese, short phrases, repetition, and mirroring about a third of your emotional level. And that's what feels right when we're talking to someone who's upset.
I love it. We surveyed some parents and talked to them about where the worst toddler tantrums had taken place. And almost overwhelmingly, it was at the supermarket. As a parent, is this just a zone that's fraught for toddlers?
Well, I mean, anywhere outside in public is fraught because children... Even a two-year-old, even an 18-month-old knows when they have you over a barrel. I mean, they sense that there is a kind of an embarrassment factor that we have when we're in public. But it isn't only that. You know, when a toddler is in a shopping mall or in a grocery store, that is just, I mean, incredible temptation for them every meter that you go. I mean, all of these packagers are yelling out to the child, eat me, buy me, take me. So, I mean, we're asking our poor little Neanderthals to be in the most difficult environment and to be perfectly calm while they're at it. And then we take them there when they're hungry anyway, which is a total disaster. So basically, if you're taking your little caveman out in the world, you just need to be aware if he's overtired, overboard. You have to keep him happy. You have to give him some food. You have to be able to, I don't like the term bribery, but give him incentives at least for cooperating.
Dr. Karp, you're wonderful. It's been so great to talk to you. I just sort of feel like I want to have your number on speed dial anytime there's a tantrum.
Feel free. I'd love to talk to you, Penny.
If you'd like to hear more from Dr. Harvey Karp and his advice for new parents and how to give those little babies the very best start in life, Dr. Harvey Karp is a New York-based pediatrician and lecturer. He's also the author of The Happiest Baby on the Block and The Happiest Toddler on the Block. He's got lots of great advice on his website as well.
Baby Doc on the Radio. You're listening to Penny.
If you'd like to hear more of Dr. Karp's advice on giving your new little baby the very best start in life, check out ABC Baby Talk on iTunes or join us on Facebook. ABC Baby Talk, all one word, should track us down pretty easily. We'll see you next time on Baby Talk.